So John 20, verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld."
Hello, everyone. Just not sure if you can all hear me here. Hello. Hi, everyone.
Hello, Phil. Yes, we can hear you.
Good. Thank you. Sorry. Thanks so much for the privilege of sharing with you this Easter in your lounge rooms at home. It's a strange time, as Dave said, to be celebrating Easter, and yet it's the best time to be celebrating Easter as well. And I think one of the benefits of celebrating Easter in the middle of a pandemic is that it allows us to enter into the story of Easter, I think, in a new way. And I want to take this opportunity this morning to look with you at one particular Easter scene. And it's actually the same scene that was in the Quizworks video. It's the scene from John chapter 20, which Jess just read to us, where Jesus comes and he stands among them. That's the thing that I want us to sort of really focus on this morning. And you can see the context here in which this happened. It was on the evening of the first day of the week. And so I just want you to put yourself back into that setting and realize that death had really hit the headlines, just as it has in our world today. Jesus had just been crucified. This Jesus, who was claiming to be the Messiah, the Christ, he's been killed and put in a tomb. And so death really was the news of the week. And the disciples had all fled from Jesus. So all their hopes and dreams had been suddenly shattered. All their plans for the future, just like us with this coronavirus, all of our plans have gone out the window. And here are these disciples. Jesus has died. They've been following him. They've given their lives to following him, and now he's been put in a tomb. They've found themselves jobless as well. Their careers have stopped. They're no longer following Jesus in that sense. And so here they are in John chapter 20, verse 19. They're together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. And so they've locked themselves inside their house, inside a house, because of fear of death. Their leader, Jesus, has just been put to death. And so they're wondering, well, which one of them is going to be next? Who's going to be next to go? If they've killed Jesus, their leader, their lives are certainly in danger. And so they're here hiding away for fear of their lives. And it's in this context, in the middle of lockdown, in the middle of self-isolation, in the middle of their fear of death, that we read in John chapter 20, verse 19, that Jesus came and stood among them. He didn't appear at a distance. He didn't come to the edge or sort of call out through the wall. He came right into the middle of their meeting, Jesus in the center. And he did this against all physical odds. As I just said, Jesus had been crucified. His body had been placed in a tomb. That tomb had been sealed and then guarded. And the disciples were meeting behind locked doors. So how did Jesus come and stand among them? We're not told. It must have been a miracle of his new resurrected body. But there he was in the midst of his disciples. He came against all physical odds, but he also came against all relational odds as well. Because let's think about this. Why would Jesus come to them? Peter has just denied him three times. And we're told that, in fact, all of the disciples had deserted him and fled. And so you would think that when Jesus does come to them, if he wants to come to them at all, you would think that he would come with a word of rebuke. But look at what he says to them. These words are amazing, aren't they? And they're repeated here three times in this passage, verse 19, verse 21, and verse 26. Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, "Peace be with you." Now, this was the common greeting of the day, but surely it is more than that here, because Jesus has previously said in John's gospel, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Peace I leave with you. So here we can see that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Such gracious words, where Jesus could well have rightly come in condemnation to his disciples. He comes here offering peace. And then it's interesting, I didn't realize this connection until just last night as I've been thinking and pondering and reading around this text. But there's some important words here that we read. After he said this, that is, after he said, "Peace be with you," he showed them his hands and his side. So there's a connection going on here between the words, this offer of peace that he's just given to them, and the revelation of his hands and his side. He's showing them, I think here, the means of the peace that he's offering. He was pierced for our transgressions. Paul says he himself is our peace because he reconciled us to God through the cross. And he's showing them, by showing them his hands and his side, the means by which he has purchased peace for us. So this is the great message of Easter, of substitution, that Jesus has paid the price for our peace. But I think there's more than that going on here. Not only is Jesus showing us the means by which he's purchased our peace, but this is verification. His side wound was a unique wound. It wasn't typical of crucifixion. You remember that with the other people crucified along with Jesus, they broke their legs. But according to scripture, he wasn't to have a bone in his body broken, and so he was pierced. And so this side wound was a unique and unusual wound for someone who was crucified. And so in showing them his hands, it doesn't say his hands and his feet, it says his hands and his side, he's showing them, verifying that this is the same Jesus that they knew was crucified and buried. And so he's accommodating himself to their doubts. He's showing them he really is this same Jesus who was crucified. But it's more than verification as well. I think it's also identification. He's accommodating himself to their suffering. I remember once when I was 21, I landed in hospital, and I can remember hearing the machines beeping around me. And I had lots of people come and visit me during that time. But the people who really made a different kind of connection with me during that time were the people who had gone through something similar themselves. They understood, they could relate to what I was going through. And here is Jesus showing his disciples his own suffering, his wounds, as it were, speaking with their wounds. He's showing them that he can understand our own suffering. So it's an incredible scene here, that death, he was killed, crucified, put in the tomb, and doors, because they were meeting behind locked doors, denial and desertion, the relational distance between Jesus and his disciples, and doubt, all of these things, death, doors, denial, doubt, they're no barriers to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He can come and stand in the midst of his people. It's the same one who said, "I am the resurrection and the life." This Jesus has come and stood among them. He might have done a thousand, an infinite number of other things. What would you do if you were Jesus? But here he is. It seems that he delights to be with his people. It seems he wants to be with them even with these disciples who have deserted him, denied him, it's an incredible thing. In fact, I think it sums up God's plans and purposes for the whole world, because all the way through the Bible, we see that God is wanting to be with his people. He wants to be our God, and he wants us to be his people. So here he is standing among them. And then, just as Jesus predicted numerous times before this in the Gospel of John, we see here that their grief is then turned to joy. So chapter 20, verse 20, the disciples were overjoyed, I love that word, when they saw the Lord. Suddenly they forgot all of their fears. All their anxieties seem to melt away and joy floods their hearts. Faith, it seems, has overcome their fears. Incredible change of emotion in that room from fear to faith and joy. And flowing out of this peace that they receive from Jesus, we see then that Jesus gives them three other things as well. Firstly, he gives them a great mission, and you can see that in verse 21. Jesus says to them, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And this mission is to be the great purpose of their lives. But secondly, he gives them a great gift to be the power of their lives, to enable them to carry out that mission. So verse 22, he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So he gives them purpose of their lives, a power to enable to carry out that purpose. And then he gives them a great privilege of announcing the gospel as well, because we see in verse 23 that he says to them, "If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven." So as they go out proclaiming the gospel, as they announce a forgiveness on the basis of faith, it comes true, as it were. If they forgive someone's sins, their sins are forgiven. So Jesus came and stood among them. I want to ask the question this morning, why not again? Why not now? Why not this Easter? It's true that we may not have the physical presence of Jesus with us today. We may not have the sight of him or the sound of his voice, but we may certainly know his presence. We have the promises that if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. We have the promises that if we seek, we will find. And the truths and the realities that were presented to the disciples by the physical body of Jesus back then are actually the same truths and realities that are presented to us today in the pages of Scripture. They actually call for the same response. Jesus will go on to say, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The gifts that they received then of peace and joy, won by the wounds of Jesus, are offered to us today as well. The reasons that they had for peace and joy are the same reasons we have for peace and joy. Jesus is risen. He's conquered the grave. He's defeated the enemy. And he offers a life to us now just through believing in his name, by putting our trust in Jesus. In fact, the gifts that were given to them are still promised to us today. Jesus still delights to stand in the midst of his people. He delights to speak peace to those who have failed him. He delights to accommodate himself to our doubts and identify with our sufferings. He delights to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, and to empower us to be his people on gospel mission, proclaiming the forgiveness of sins. People are wondering, aren't they, what is going to happen to the church during COVID-19? Because we can't meet together, and the church is the gathering of God's people. But here in this passage, we see that death and doors and denial and desertion are no barriers for the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is still building his church, and he will continue to build it. Even the gates of hell can't stop the building of the Church of Jesus Christ. He's just as able to meet us in our homes today, Easter 2020, as he is to meet us in a church building any other year. So how would you respond if Jesus came and stood physically among you today? I want you to imagine that. how would you respond? I want you to respond to him that way now. I want you to receive his peace, to receive him. If this crisis is teaching us anything, surely it's teaching us that we may not have tomorrow as we have today. Thousands of people around the world are suddenly being called, aren't they, from this life into the next. And these resurrection accounts are written so that we may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing we might have life in his name. So I want to encourage you to think about that question this Easter. How would you respond if Jesus came and stood physically among us today? Perhaps there in your room, in lockdown, in your house. How would you respond? And then I want you to think, actually, that's how I should be responding to him right now, because he's presenting himself not in his physical resurrected body in our houses today, but he's presenting us himself to us in the pages of Scripture, and he's calling for the same response. And we need to receive this offer of peace that he gives to us. Praise the Lord, he doesn't come to us in judgment and in condemnation, but he's come into this world to save. And so we have much to give thanks for, much to rejoice over, much to celebrate this Easter, even as we are in our homes. I want to close by reading a prayer, which was actually written in 1873. It's a hymn, and you might know it, but let me close with these fantastic words. Let's pray. Jesus, stand among us in your risen power. Let this time of worship be a hallowed hour. Breathe the Holy Spirit into every heart. Bid our fears and sorrows from each soul depart. Thus, with quickened footsteps, we'll pursue our way, watching for the dawning of eternal day. Amen.